I've spoken before in this series about my old job. This is going to be a lot different because I'm learning so many new things that the things I'm learning, I would like to pay back to other people that might be in similar situations out there. My last job completely broke my ADHD brain, which I didn't even know was happening. And it would be better for me to reflect on how it happened, or I mean, I've already reflected extensively, but it would be better for me to elaborate exactly on how it happened for people that might be going through similar situations, because the learning experience that I've had through this experience has been like both like incredible and devastating at the same time. Now, there are people here that have heard this story probably before, or if they haven't, I don't actually even know if I've fully said this on the channel yet, so I guess we're just going to get into it, but this is going to be significantly more in-depth on exactly what kind of dysfunction was going on that then reflected back to me, that then reflected back to my environment, and so on and so forth, so I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. So I started an IT job in what would have been March of 2020, and Essentially what happened is March of 2020. This one's going to have more editing. I think differently now. See, I literally do a different, it's going to be a completely different podcast for a little bit because I have to learn how to think again, right? So I started this job in March of, so I started an IT job at a institution in March of 2023, and I did this job for around 9 months, about 9-10 months, something like that. And there are very little details that sort of I've worked through that sort of paint a better picture for what happened. And if these sort of tragic circumstances had not come about, I don't think that I would be able to be here today in the healthy way that I am, because I would not have been able to grow through the pain that's involved with this whole process. So when I started this job, I had pretty solid expectations for what was going to happen. And I'm going to be regularly referencing what was going on inside my head while I was at this job, because not only is it relevant, but it explains the way that the outside world affected my inside world so much. So when I started the job, I knew that it was going to be an entry-level position, but I was paid, you know, like a good amount of money. Like, it wasn't crazy, but it wasn't terrible. Let's put it that way. Now, out the gate, this amount of money was not going to be enough to really live. However, I had the expectation going into it that I would be doing valuable work off the gate, and that within a year I would be, because I'd be, you know, doing more valuable work, they would be interested in giving me a raise, and that raise would allow me to be able to have more savings and stuff, and it was going to provide significantly more stability for me and my wife. And so I took this, and it also helped contribute to some of my our living. We were having living issues with renting and stuff like that. It was going to sort of they were going to help us with that a little bit. So this job was a really big sort of a leap, but it was the best, you know, decision at the time. And so I took this jump. Now, here is the deal. People that have ADHD that don't know this, well, not all of them, but me, this episode, I'm going to be elaborating more on my ADHD because it's different than maybe other people. But for me, essentially what happens is I can't create internal motivation. I did not know this for 25 years until about 5 days ago. What internal motivation means, I think, is essentially like, I know what external motivation is, because when I see something that's outside of me, I can be motivated by something outside of me. So if you said to me, you know, Leviathan, go do this and I'll give you $20, or go do this and you can have this as a reward or something, I can completely process and understand that. But internal motivation is not something that I can really create. And so what this means is that if I want to go somewhere in life, if I want to do something, if I want to be successful, if I ever want to be motivated, even in the short term, if I want to create motivation for myself, it has to be externalized. And so what this means is that whatever environment I'm in, it has to be able to facilitate in order to be motivated to do anything, I have to have something in my environment that's going to facilitate that. And the problem with that is that if you're in an environment that does not have that sort of where that's not being facilitated, then not only do you lack motivation, but you don't have the ability to, quite the opposite, there's nothing you can do about that. Because internally, you know, people that can create internal motivation, they can find ways to do stuff, but, you know, they can do that within themselves, and then people can't take that away. I spent my whole life trying to find the right internal motivation, and every time I ever found something, it just wouldn't stick around. And I always misunderstood why that was, and I found out later that it has to do with the fact that I have different cognitions that just, they're just different than other people. And I was like, oh, that explains a lot. Okay. Now, like I said, so I start this new job with all of these external motivations. Like I said, these guys are going to give me a raise in a year. These guys are going to give me valuable work when I start out. These guys are going to provide for my wife and I. And if they're not, they're going to make me valuable over time. And I can have all these reasons, these motivators, even though they, you know, they take time, but there are things I can wake up every day and I can be motivated, and they're outside me. See, they're external. Well, around 2 months in, one of these was taken away. So about 2 months in, there was a conversation that I had with someone that at work that was technically above me, and I was walking through, essentially we had no money, $0, and my motivation was slowly dripping away that I was having, because the motivation, remember, was externalized, and it was these three main long-term factors that my wife and I, you know, I'll be able to get a raise in a year, and they're going to make me valuable, and stuff like that. Well, what they decided to do after, well, essentially 2 months in, we were starving. My wife was like away on a trip to see her sister because her sister was having health things. So I was at, it was just me, walking to work every day. And I had like, I think $1.28 after I got paid, after I, paid the bills. And I had to do this for like a week because she was gone for like a week. And I took all the quarters we had and went to McDonald's. And because I had no money and couldn't get to the store, and I spent all my money on McChickens to just eat McChickens in like basically twice a day. And it was like really making me sick, but I didn't have a choice. And I remember coming to work one day, and my boss is like he comes to me privately, like we're in an area of a building that's kind of private. And I say to him, listen, this isn't working. Like, could we have a conversation, you know, with, is there a world where we could have a conversation with the people above both of us just to be like, hey, just to see where this is going. Like, I can't sustainably do this. This income isn't going to work. And what this person said to me that was above me, because I was trying to go to the higher people to be like, hey, this isn't working. They said they don't have enough time for you. They're too busy. We don't want to load up their plate. We don't want to add to their plate. And in that moment, they took away the motivation in a snap, in an instant, that said, we are interested and able to financially support you guys, and are interested in doing that for the next 6 months, if not a year. And they essentially just stripped that motivation away, that external motivation. Now, what that did, I didn't realize it. And many people in those situations, they just walk out. I mean, they just walk out of the job. But remember, like I said, this was a little bit more of a commitment because of just there are various reasons why. So I was like, well, okay, I guess I can stick it out. Maybe, you know, in a couple of months, things are going to change. And not only did they not change, but they got worse. See, let's say 4 months in, okay, when you start a job, you know, you don't really know what you're doing. And you're kind of expecting that as time goes on, you know, you kind of get a feel for the workflow, you get a feel for the people around you and what's expected, and it starts to make sense. Well, about, I'd say about the first 2 months were rocky, but, you know, I was learning a lot of skills. I was learning how to do Ethernet cables and basic networking stuff, and I was being asked to do things that I didn't know how to do, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to pick this up. I'm eventually going to learn these skills and then master them, and then I don't have to sort of keep feeling like every day is a new day where I'm learning something new. And every IT department, I'm sure, is different, but I had worked at a previous IT department that had a lot more structure. It was super streamlined. It was really easy. Everybody knew where everything was. Everybody knew what everybody's role was and what everybody was doing each day. And it was a lot more of a laid back kind of job. This job was not like that. There was absolutely no There was absolutely no structure to this job that I had whatsoever. Absolutely none. Zero structure. So what that means is that I come in to work on certain days. When I come into work, I'm like, what am I doing today? And I go to my boss and he's like, I don't really know. And then the next day he's like, I'm going to have you do this. I'm going to have you do this. And there are days where I don't know how to do the thing. And there are days where I do. Now, you might be thinking like, okay, well, that's just general, maybe IT stuff. You might make a case, but I'll give you a really good example of a story that is that'll demonstrate that the environment's dysfunction and then how that impacted me. So there was a day where I had to set up an event. I don't think I've told this story yet, but there was a day I had to set up an event. And when I showed up to the event, I showed up 30 minutes before, like I always do. And when I went to set up, absolutely none of the technology was set up or remotely put together or where it was supposed to be. And no one told me at all. There's just no communication. There's no internal communication at this organization. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's not good. And so I start flying together to put the whole space together so that for an event, right? They wanted AV stuff, like audiovisual stuff. And so I start trying to get projectors and microphones and everything all working. And I'm flying as fast as I can running between buildings because I have 30 minutes to fix it, or it's, you know, it's my fault. And this organization even has the internal standard of, if it's not working, oh, well, that's, you know, it sucks to suck. That's how it is here. And I was like, dude, this is a problem, man. Like, I really don't, this stressed me out, obviously. This same event that I'm describing, about 3 minutes before the event started, when there was 200 people in the room, someone came to me that I think was one of the organizers of the event. And she comes up to me and says, so did you get the video? And there was no video ever sent to me. No one told me about a video. No one ever said anything, right? And I get that you can wing stuff a little bit, but it's like the space was just put back together, and it was put back together haphazardly because the space is not well, it's not efficiently put together whatsoever. It's just hamstrung together with luck, Jesus, and duct tape. That's it. So I'm kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, send me the video and I'll wing it. And I had to wing it. And it went all right, but like my blood pressure through that is way high, and I'm stressing out because, like I said, at any moment, like something could go wrong, and then I get blamed for it. And so I went through. So you can kind of get an idea for this organization's, you know, it has basically the main points are it had very, very little internal communication at all. No one really knew what was going on. And so that affected my job, where I didn't really know what was going on because nobody knew what was going on in the whole organization. And so what happened was, this meant that over the course of my job, there was actually no skill growth. So about a month in, I started to feel it, but was like, yeah, it's fine. 2 months in, I realized that I was not getting any more real responsibility. I was still installing Google Chrome on people's computers. I was still doing like Zoom troubleshooting calls about like, my sound isn't working, and just like, which is not what the job description was about. That's not what was in the job description. It was significantly greater responsibility. I thought I was going to be more of a leader, let's say, and that's not what happened. And so I, more of like a manager position is kind of what I thought it was going to be. That's not it. It was way lower value in that respect. And there was no growing in that respect. And so I was really frustrated by this. Obviously about 2 months in, and as time got on, it became more and more evident that they were not going to grow me. So about 4 to 5 months in, the second external motivation really sort of disappeared. There are a number of different things that happened, but long story short, it became very evident to me that they were not interested in making me more valuable. And the reason is because the organization was not interested in making me valuable, because then they would have to pay me more. And more importantly, I would be able to see if I had leverage within my career to be able to say, you know, I'm extremely valuable. This is the skills that I have, you know, pay me more. But also in some sense, I use leverage that they give me by making me more valuable to gain more skills. And this organization could not have given a rip about that. Quite the opposite. I didn't know this till later, but they were actively trying to keep people less valuable, because if you give people more value, then the organization becomes dependent on that. See, and this one did not want that. They were like, we do not want this. We want to keep people basically as unvaluable as possible. We do not want to put responsibility on people that we then depend on for that, you know, those skills. So we're now 5-6 months in, like I said, and we're getting to the point where like I'm starting to just get extremely depressed inside because, like I said, both external motivators are gone. And as I said with my ADHD, there's a lot of different things that, I'm kind of going through over that course of time, mainly problems of motivation, where, like I said, every day I'm just starting to realize these guys don't really care about making me more valuable. They smile through the pain and they smile like they're nice and stuff, but I'm like, this is wrong. I'm not doing what's in the job description. I'm not being made more valuable. I'm not getting paid for this. And that the fact that the external motivators were taken away was really what killed it for me and got it to the point where I'd say about 6 months in, this would be around September, October, I was pretty much done. And the thing about it is that you know how people do things where they quiet quit a little bit? I kind of got to that point where I kind of had quiet quit. There were many days where I would go into work and I kind of would like work on my podcast for a little bit. There were days where I came into work and they literally told me like, I was like, what am I doing today? They're like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'd sit down and no one would say anything for like 3.5 hours and they wouldn't have been expecting me to do anything. I mean, they really were. It got to the point where near the end of the job, I had the suspicion that they were already thinking of letting me go because they let lots of people go right around the time I chose to leave. But I was looking at my contract with this institution. And when I looked at it near the end of I noticed that the term on it was for 12 months. And I realized, wait a second, they may have been planning to let me go all along. And I didn't know that. But like I said, I didn't know that at the time. But as I said, as time went on, the external motivators really, really, really started to hit me hard. Now, all of this is where I'm going to start talking specifically about the ADHD because I want to articulate what I've been learning about myself as that went on. So there is a substance. It's not a substance. I believe it's a neurotransmitter. If I'm wrong, I'm absolutely sorry, but I'm learning more about it because this is the stuff I've been learning the last few weeks, okay? It is called norepinephrine. And norepinephrine is essentially, it's like dopamine and it's like serotonin. Norepinephrine is essentially a neurotransmitter. And what it does, it has a similar function in terms of what it does, where it's got the synaptic cleft and it sits in there and it releases an experience or whatever. It's a neurotransmitter. And norepinephrine's job is to arouse the body to action. So what this means is that if you have norepinephrine in your cells, everyone listening to this knows what norepinephrine feels like because it's what's in your cells when you procrastinate. So when you go into fight or flight and you procrastinate and you have a paper due in 30 minutes, that is both the cortisol from the panic, I'm pretty sure, I'm not a doctor, but the panic and anxiety comes from cortisol and adrenaline to get your heart rate up. But the physical movement, like the, I need to move, I need to do something, that's norepinephrine. I don't think I had If I had any norepinephrine left when I started this job, because I was like kind of down on my luck, by the end, I didn't have diddly squat. I didn't have any norepinephrine levels in my body. There was no way. You go right now on Google and you type in what low norepinephrine levels look like. I had every one of those symptoms. And you can even look into it more and you'll see that low norepinephrine levels are associated with ADHD because there are a number of different effects that low norepinephrine has on the ability for the body to process things. And so what that meant is that when I did things at this job, it never connected with any reason to do any of them. So essentially, I'm trying to come up with a cognitive reason to do anything because my body can't process why to do stuff. It's very hard to explain. Maybe I do that in a different video, but it essentially, by the end of the job, I had no norepinephrine left in my system. Well, whatever you would consider to be low norepinephrine. And it's not like dopamine where it gets released in these sort of explosive, like, you know, bursts. Norepinephrine and serotonin are much different where I think they have significantly longer shelf life and they sit in your system for longer and they incite your body to action, right? Essentially, what would happen as an example is I'll use this as an example because I'm having this conversation with you on Strattera right now, which, by the way, this is magical to me. Right now, if you put in front of me sort of like a kitchen table, and on the kitchen table are silverware, forks, knives, and plates and cups and all that stuff, and they're all out of order, all completely out of order, I would be able to without saying a word in 3 seconds now, I can almost, like, building a Lego set on a Lego game, like Lego Star Wars or something, I can know exactly where everything needs to go without doing any real work in my brain at all. And then I have this sort of organizational structure that's in my head, and I can see what's supposed to happen on the table. Then what happens is my brain tells my body, go do that. Like, that's what's going on now because my norepinephrine levels are up high. Well, what happens is when you have low norepinephrine, your body doesn't tell you to go do, your brain doesn't tell your body to do anything. There's nothing there. So you're just kind of standing there blankly. Like, you see it, you see the problem, but you have a disconnect with the world when it comes to the way that you, your physical being interacts with the world. There's a mind-body disconnect. And that mind-body disconnect got worse and worse and worse over time with this job, because like I said, external motivators were gone, right? The external world was not able to validate my internal, the work that I was doing internally. As an example for what a more functional environment would look like, I used to do real estate photography, and the way that I knew I got good at it was not internally, it was externally. So I would go do a house, and I had no idea if I did a good job. No clue. No idea. I do another house. I still don't know if I do a good job. And then what happens is, over the course of like 2 weeks, one homeowner says, these look really good. I love these. This is awesome. Thank you. And I go, awesome. And then like a couple days later, I get $1 million house to do. It's like they're ramping up my responsibility, which is the external motivator for the fact that I internally can't feel any way of knowing if I'm doing a better job, if that makes sense. Okay. So like I said, this is the opposite. This is, I do work at this job. And I'm like, did I do at you know, this job I just quit recently? I hope a good job. And then I'm sitting there like, did I do a good job? And then they're like, I don't know, probably. And I'm like, okay. And I have no idea if I did a good job. And there's no external proof I did a good job. And then the next day, it's the same thing. The next day, it's the same thing. And remember, they never give me more valuable work in order to prove that I'm worth it. That I'm like, there's no incentive of any kind, internal or external. See, so it, and people that are struggling with this, they completely understand what I'm talking about. And the people that don't, I'm hoping I'm able to articulate this in a way that I don't want to say sounds scary, but it really is scary when you don't know that that's not normal. Like, it never occurred to me that it wasn't normal. I just was like, well, this is how it is now. 'Cause you don't know, bro. I basically went 25 years without glasses and then put glasses on a week ago. And I'm like just seeing everything differently now. Now, when I actually have the organizational structure in my brain that I can put together in 3 seconds, my brain tells my body, go do that. That would feel good. And then it does it. And then it feels good. Like, I folded clothes a couple of days ago and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I can't explain what that's like, but it's like, the honest truth is, if I had the opportunity to have, I've taken Strattera now. If I had Strattera on this job, I would have probably quit 2 months in. I wouldn't have stayed for so long because the dysfunction in the outside world, I would have just left because I would not have, I stayed at this job both because I had a lot of people sort of almost toxically saying, stay, because it's all about the effort. It's all about how hard you work, which is not true. And there's going to be an episode about that soon. But there was all this, it was all about the effort. And it's like, you got to put in the effort. You can't quit, can't give up. But it was like, this was the place to give up. This was the place to leave. And that was the time to leave, 2 months in, 3 months in, four, whatever. But I just didn't know what to do because my norepinephrine was very low and dysfunctional. And I, even if I knew what to do, my mind was not able to tell my body to get into action. And so I stayed way longer than I should have. And over time, it just broke my brain down to a point where I just couldn't function. And only now am I really starting to pick up the pieces and go back and look and reflect on this stuff. So where I am now is here. I'm at the point where it's been a couple months since I left that job, and I'm kind of getting back on my feet, putting the pieces back together, doing this every day because I love it. And I'd say that, like, it's people that are working in environments. If you have ADHD, like the big thing that I've taken away from this is if you have ADHD or you suspect you do, your environment is so deeply important to the world that you're in. If you're in a dysfunctional environment, it will completely destroy your ADHD. It'll make it so dysfunctional, because there are some medicines that can help with that, but there are some medicines that most medicine can't with certain aspects. So, for instance, things like internal motivation, it's really hard to formulate that over time. And like sustainable internal motivation, usually we need external motivation. And if we're at a job that does not fulfill or have any form of structure to do that, no medicine's going to fix that. Maybe you can get work done a little easier, but there's no medicine that's going to just magically make it better. And so, at least not that I'm aware of, whether it's a stimulant or it's Strattera or it's Wellbutrin, whatever it is. But backing up a second, the other thing is that, like, if you notice, if you're in an environment that feels like it's out of control and chaotic and you're really struggling, like, bro, like, I don't know how to explain it, but I literally had a dysfunction in my brain that I did not know was there, that I had diagnosed and forgot about. Like, not in a stupid way, bro. Like, I just didn't even know. And I say that because, like, it might not be you. Like, it might not be you. There's going to be another episode about that soon, but it is worth considering that maybe it's not your fault. And maybe it's, there's something going on beyond, you know, when I say it might not be you, I specifically mean, like, there might be something going on, you know, maybe cognitively with you or with the people in the organization where you just aren't even aware. I didn't know that there was something going on that was blocking my brain from functioning in a way that would have been remotely, I did not know that I wasn't functioning effectively in this environment. And so if you are really struggling with kind of this stuff, like, it would be wise to sort of take a step back and say, should I really continue doing this? Or should I go look at some of the options, really, really try to consider ways to sort of get mentally healthy, because it's not worth it. I mean, I was the lowest I've ever been at the beginning of the recordings of this podcast. You go back there, I was at the lowest I've ever been in my life. So, like, I can just tell you right off the gate, it's worth it to just go figure out what's going on, take a step back and breathe and just be like, does my life have to suck this much? Does this job, does this environment, does this situation have to suck this much? Because I'd be willing to bet you it doesn't. It does not have to suck that much. Life can be a beautiful thing. And if it isn't, it's worth just stepping back and taking the time to evaluate what's going on and really see, like, maybe there's something going on beneath the surface that you're just not even aware of, that someone else could only certain people would be able to point out, you know. And it's better to do that, I think, than to stay miserable.